Everybody, this is Macedonia calling down the coming to you again on another Friday night, and this is the day that the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. And listen to this here.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. I can't feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like you go. My God is real. I can't feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's start over again. This is Macedonia Call Around the Globe, and we appreciate you letting us come into your home by internet or by telephone. And if you'd like to call in, it is 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. If you want to reach us by email, it is heisrisen38@aol.com. Praise God. And we have lots of requests coming in through Facebook, and just want you to continue to turn those in. If you're listening by the radio or internet, it doesn't matter. But keep turning those in, because we sure pray over these at the end of the broadcast, and I will be announcing some of them here in just a few minutes. But at this moment, I want to open up with prayer. I'm going to do this a little differently. If everyone that's on the line with me would pray with us, that would be great. Let's go to prayer now for the whole service. Lord, in the name of Jesus,
Father, in the name
God,
of
we
Jesus
ask,
tonight,
Lord,
we pray, Lord, as we
every
get into this service tonight, Lord,
Lord,
God, all is good,
the world,
God, that's good anointing.
God, reach the hearts
God,
that
of those
that are not saved. Maybe they're backslidden,
God,
and they need encouragement, dear Lord.
God,
you know everything.
God, we pray, Father, every need that there is, Lord, that's listening, Lord, that, God, I pray that you'd move and meet every need, and God, I pray that you would just move. You said it wasn't by power nor by my spirit, saith the Lord. Now just move, Father, we ask it in the name of Jesus, Lord.
Bless it, Father, we ask that you move.
Bless it, Lord, and minister, Lord, and move in it, Father.
God,
in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord.
Praise God. Tonight's subject is going to be obedience to God. And however you want to take that, the callers that have called in, however you want to go with that is fine, because it's all the same word of God. Praise the Lord. And at this time, we're going to have Rachel come in, and she's going to say her read her verse.
And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days.
Praise God. He'll lengthen our days if we obey Him. Hallelujah. And right now I'm going to just kind of go down in order. It looks like right now I'm just going to have you just tell us who you are, and then we'll get you to, all to come in a little bit in a little bit here to obey God. 423-545. Tell us who you are and where you're located.
This is Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, Madisonville, Tennessee.
Amen, Brother Yearwood. Good to have you on here. And I'm going to go right down the line, Brother Yearwood, and I'll start with you first, okay, to obey God here in just a moment. 770-584.
Praise the Lord, Brother and Sister Green. This is Brother Pastor John Sample from Thomaston, Georgia, and it's good to be with you tonight.
Amen, Brother John. Thank you for calling in, and we'll have you in there after Brother Yearwood. Is that okay?
That's fine. Thank you.
Okay. God bless you, brother.
God bless you.
706-975.
Sister Green, it's Frieda Litchfield from Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise God, Sister Frieda. Be prepared. We're talking about obedience to God tonight, and we'll have you go after Brother John, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sis. Glad you called in. I tell you, each and every one of you that call in, it sure is an encouragement to us. And we're going to have 423-562 come in. Tell us who you are.
This is Evangelist Eddie Bolton, Jacksboro, Tennessee. And I'd like to say before going further that I appreciate everybody praying for me, that prayed for me while I was sick. Thank you very much. And it's good to be on this broadcast tonight.
Amen, Brother Eddie. Thank God that you're well, and it wasn't what we thought it could have been, and God is right on time, ain't he, brother?
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to have Brother Yearwood go ahead and obey the Lord, brother.
Sister, just go ahead and let any of the others there first, and I'll just jump in there sometime or another after a while.
Okay. We kind of... we need to get better, probably, and y'all pray for us that we get our subjects faster so that we were scrambling today trying to get scriptures together. But Clint felt like the Lord spoke to him and said obedience to God. So we apologize for that, and we're going to try to do better. Let's see. Brother John, why don't you come on in and obey the Lord, brother?
All right. Thank you, Brother Sister Green. I'm coming out of 1 Samuel tonight, 1 Samuel chapter 15. And my message tonight is obedience utterly destroyed. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Samuel the prophet had come, and this time in Israel, amen, before this time there had been judges, amen, and they had come to a time the children of Israel had decided, amen, that they wanted a king, they wanted a ruler, just like the rest of the world. And, you know, a lot of times when we want rulers over us like the rest of the world. And this is what had happened. And they had come to a place of the children of Israel of rejecting, amen, completely obedience to the word of God and completely obedience to God himself. They had rejected God as Samuel was sent to anoint Saul, who was head and shoulders among all others in the kingdom of Israel. We find that at that time, amen, that Israel had come to a place and had fallen to a place that they wanted to be like the rest of the world in their leadership. And church tonight, we need to be careful, amen, that we want to be followed like the rest of the world, amen. There's only one leader and there's only one Lord, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, amen, and obedience
amen.
To him, amen, that we need to come to that place. But as Samuel the prophet began to speak, and here in 1 Samuel chapter 15, and verse 2, there was a time that the Amalek had come out, and when Israel come up out of Egypt, and verse 2 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. This nation, amen, had come out against Israel when they had come out of their bondage and come out of, amen, were being unto the place of promise. Tonight, amen, we have to be careful because there are people laying in wait, amen. Amen. As we come out of our deliverance, I just want to praise the Lord for what he's doing in our lives and our ministry and this broadcast, amen, and reaching out. But told him there, verse 3 said, now go and smite. This was the instructions. This was the instructions that Saul had received, amen, from Samuel the prophet, to now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, spare them not, to slay both man and woman and infant and suckling ox, sheep, camel, and ass. And so Saul began to gather, amen, and began to come against Amalek, amen. He had went to the Kenites because Kenites had showed them up there in verse 6 of kindness when they come out. And the Bible says that he smote Amalek from Havilah until Shur there in verse 7. But the Bible says in verse 8, something happened here. He says, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, this was the king, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatling, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, they that destroyed utterly. So that which was vile, that which was no good, that which was to be refused was utterly destroyed. But Saul did not fully obey the word of God. He did not come to full obedience to the word of God. We find him in that he saved Agag, the king. He saved the very best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatling and the lambs. He saved all that was seemingly good in the eyes of man. But then the Bible says, then came the word of the Lord there in verse 10. Unto Samuel saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried in the Lord all night. So here it was that Saul had already turned away, even as he had been set up a king, even as he had been set up an authority. He turned back from following the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, church, we need to know that God sets up who he will, and he puts down who he was. You have to understand,
amen,
the time that promotion, the Bible says in Psalm 75, promotion comes from the Lord. If he had come, and amen, this was we knew that this was the king that God had chosen for the people. But as he turned away, amen, from following the Lord Jesus Christ, or God the Father at this time. There in verse 13, he said, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou, Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth him this of the bleating of the sheep in thine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? You have to remember, what did he say in verse 3? He said, utterly destroy the suckling, the ox, the sheep, everything, the camel, the ass, everything. Amen. Nothing was to be left. Amen. And the Bible says, and Saul said, they have brought them from Amalek, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Church, tonight you need to know that 99% obedience is 100% disobedience tonight. The only thing that they utterly destroyed on that time when they were sent into Amalek, the only thing that was destroyed was the obedience to God. In the Garden of Eden, in the beginning of the Genesis, amen, the one thing that was destroyed in that garden, it was made beautiful. The Bible says when the Lord was finished, he said it was good. Amen. And you need to know, amen, that there's an entering into a rest. He rested from his works, from his created works. Hallelujah. On the seventh day. But we need to know today and tonight, church, amen, that the only thing that was utterly destroyed was the obedience of man to God in this time. Also, in the very beginning, amen, hallelujah, that Adam and Eve, amen, the only thing that was destroyed in the garden was the obedience, because they walked away from the obedience of God. Tonight, there's sin in the world. The Bible says in Corinthians, it says, by the disobedience of one man, many became sinners. But thank God tonight we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. By the obedience of one man, many became righteous. Tonight, amen, and even though we've all been born in sin and shaped in iniquity, tonight we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, amen. We find, amen, that in verse 15, and Saul said that they have brought them from Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen and sacrificed unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. They brought these things back to sacrifice unto the Lord. Going down, amen, that he had, going down into verse 18, the Lord sent me on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore, verse 19, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? Why did you come? Why did you bring this spoil back? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Stop right there. What did he say? He said, utterly destroy every man, every sucking child, everything. He said, I have obeyed, even after he was told, even after he was instructed. The Bible says God has spoke once, yea, twice, but man has not perceived it. Hallelujah. Tonight we need to obey the word of God. But what was happening here, the obedience to God has been utterly destroyed. We come there, 1% of disobedience is obedience is 100% disobedience. And he said, I brought the king back, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen and the chief of the things, which should have been utterly destroyed, the sacrifice of the Lord thy God in Gilgal. So he began to say, he said, look, the people came. He was king, but the people came and brought the sacrifice. He said, he brought back Agag, the king of Amalek. Samuel said, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams.
Amen.
Tonight, more than anything else tonight, church, many people are making sacrifices, and many people, amen, are offering up many things. But tonight, the one thing that we need to offer up tonight, the one thing that we need to give, is the sacrifice of obedience tonight. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, and thy words, because I fear the people, obey their voice. Tonight, there's one voice that we need to obey. The Bible says when the apostles were told and instructed not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore, they declared, he said, we need to obey God rather than man. Tonight, church, full obedience to God, full obedience to his word, full obedience to his commandments. Not one thing, not one job, not one deal. The Bible says in the book of Revelations, if we add one word to this book, the plagues of this book shall be added to our life. If we take away from the writings of this book, our name shall be taken away from the Lamb's book of life. These are things, amen, amen, we'll be rejected from being a child of God. We'll be rejected from being church tonight. We can't afford for that 1% of disobedience, amen. We can't afford to have our obedience to God utterly destroyed tonight. And the Bible says in verse 26, and Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. Because we have rejected, amen, he had rejected the word. Tonight, church, we need not to reject the word. If we reject the word, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The
amen.
Word, man, will reject us. It will turn us away. The second book of Samuel there, I just want you to know how important this is. Saul was told, amen, to utterly destroy every Amalekite. I want you to notice that when Saul died and when he was killed, there was a man that came out from them in the second book of Samuel in chapter 1. The Bible says there in verse 11 of 2 Samuel chapter 1, and David took hold of his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son, for the people of the Lord, for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. They had come, and amen, they had utterly destroyed him. And David said unto the young man that told him, whence art thou? In other words, where did you come from? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. Now, I want you to notice something there. He was an Amalekite. And David said, and how wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thy hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? Because this is what this is what he did. Then in verse 10, he said, go on to verse 8. He said to him, who art thou? He said, I answered him, I am an Amalekite. Now, this is Saul talking to this man. You know what? That man would not have been there to destroy him because he was utterly destroyed. His lineage would have been gone. Church, there's going to be a time, amen, there are many times, and I know I know Brother Eddie was a veteran of the Vietnam War, but I had many people out there, even my own family there, amen, even my own cousins, they served in the Vietnam War. Many times they were allowed to, they were instructed to let the enemy go by. And then that night there, that very same patrol come back and actually utterly destroyed them that they had let go by. That church tonight, you need to not let the enemy go by. You need to utterly destroy. We've been, the past few weeks in this program, we've been talking about pulling down the strongholds. And right now, as Brother Green has been instructed by the Word of God, full obedience, amen. God is not having any delight in our sacrifice tonight, but He delights in us hearkening unto the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. He delights, amen, in our obedience tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. You have to understand, that man would have not been here to destroy it. Church, you need to know tonight that because of your disobedience, amen, the enemy has come. Amen. At the very beginning, when the enemy began to speak to them in the Garden of Eden, if they had obeyed the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, if they had obeyed the word of God, we would not be having the struggles with. There would not be sin. There would not be death tonight. But because of disobedience, amen, it fully brought us to this place tonight. But I thank God, amen, tonight. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, hallelujah, that we have a God, that we have a God that came upon the earth. The Bible says, amen, hallelujah, that He was God manifested in the flesh. Amen, preached in the Gentiles, received in the glory. The Bible says, hallelujah, in Philippians chapter 2, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, in other words, if there are any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, in other words, all these things are wrapped up in the gift that Jesus Christ, amen, that the Lord God the Father gave unto us at Calvary. You need to know tonight that nailing principalities and powers to the cross with three nails. The disobedience of man, amen, at Golgotha's hill was renewed and rebuilt. Amen. And the plan was restored. He restored, amen. He stood in the gap and made up the head. He was the restorer of paths to dwell in. He says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. You need to know tonight that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter, hallelujah, chapter 5, it talks about that he was a priest, amen, after the order of Melchizedek.
Yes,
and amen. In his flesh, in verse 7, amen, he said, we had all that presence and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that were able to save him from death, and was heard that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. He only becomes the author of your eternal salvation if you obey him. Called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. That's an unchangeable priesthood of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you were dull of hearing. In other words, we have turned our ears, amen, to not hear the word of God or the voice of God. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. That's the utterance of God. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Hallelujah. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. When we come and are on milk instead of the meat, we are a babe in Christ. But strong meat belongs to them who are full of age. Even to those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What is that? The Lord Jesus Christ learned obedience by the things he suffered. And to all those that obey, he's become the author of your eternal salvation. Going back to Philippians there, just a few more scriptures, and I'm going to give it back to Brother and Sister Green. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, that's why Brother Lloyd, amen, even though he was the first caller, amen, that he took and gave it to someone else. Amen. Hallelujah. Because in the point in time, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, even though he was God. He thought himself not. And even though, amen, he was made, amen, hallelujah, he said, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. He was God. He took upon himself a form of a servant. He learned obedience by the things he suffered and was made in the likeness of men. In the beginning, man was made in the likeness of God. In the end, God was made in the likeness of man so that he could bring us into that obedience by the things that he suffered in his flesh while he was here on the earth in his flesh. He brought back obedience, and he brought back by his death that we could have life. The Bible says that being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and being obedient. Oh, here's the ultimate sacrifice. Here's the ultimate obedience. Life became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name. Obedience brought a name, and that name is Jesus, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Here's what he told the church. Here's the Apostle Paul told the church of Philippi. He said, you've always obeyed me, but now you've obeyed me more in my absence. Church, are you going to obey Jesus in his physical absence? Amen. But you know what? He sent you a comforter, a comforter that will abide in you, that will cause you to obey, that will live within you. You will come in his name. Amen. His is the name that is above every name. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You need to know tonight that it's God the Holy Spirit tonight working in you to do his will and his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Not, it doesn't say the angel. He never called angel any time his son. Not at any time, the Bible says in Hebrews. But we are the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth what? The word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, and that I am not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Who's the sacrifice? Who's the sacrifice? You are the ones to be brought back. Be brought back to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the sacrifice. Jesus Christ was your sacrifice. In Genesis chapter 22, and I'm going to close, Isaac went up on that hill. He had the wood. He had the fire. But he asked Abraham, where's the sacrifice? Tonight, church, do you have the obedience? Do you have the ultimate sacrifice of obedience? It's where life laid down his life and humbled himself to death, so that when life laid down, that you can live forever eternally in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's your time right now to make that decision to be fully obedient to God. Right now you can make that choice. Go ahead, Brother and Sister Green.
Praise God. Brother John, good word there. Praise the Lord. We've got a few prayer requests here I want to turn in. Bridget Nolan says, prayers are needed for a toddler named Briggs Lynn. He is in University of Kentucky Hospital due to E. coli, which caused swelling of his brain, kidneys have shut down, and seizures. So pray for him. A much needed prayer, very serious. Martha Ward says pray for her severe chest pain. So pray for her. And Bridget Abner McCaw, it's McGaha, says pray for her. And we also want you to remember Betty Ann and Stephanie, the Yearwoods family, the girl there, remember, and their mother, pray for them. And many, many lots of prayers as they come in. We'll keep turning in prayer requests. And at this time, we're going to have Brother Jeremiah Yoakum sing us a song. Praise the Lord.
And I put on the news. I'll tell you.
That's Brother Jeremiah Yoakum. If you want to get a hold of any of his CDs, you can reach him at jeremiahyoakum.com. Also, his church is redemptionroadchurch.org. So you can get a hold of him that way. They are in Kentucky. I believe it's Danville, Kentucky. So praise the Lord. Sister Frieda, why don't you come in and obey the Lord, sis?
Okay, I'm going to be reading from Colossians 3:22-25. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as mean pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord you shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And the other scripture is Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourself, for they watch for your soul, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. It's been a long week, but praise the Lord, we made it through, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen next, Sister Green.
Amen. Praise God. That's a good word, sis.
Thank you.
You know, we've got to obey God. We've got to obey His word, and we appreciate you being in there with us and then on Brother Yearwood's broadcast as well. And I just love you guys, and I've never met you face-to-face, you or Brother John or Brother Eddie, but I feel like I know you, and I can't wait. One of these days we're going to, hopefully we'll get to meet down here on earth, but we're going to be in our heavenly home someday, and we'll be sitting by that riverbank worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ. And
amen.
You keep obeying God, Sister Frieda, because, you know, I looked at the status of how many we're reaching, and it's about close to 37,000 people, and this is worldwide. And I want to thank all the listeners out there that are listening, and I hope we say something that can encourage you. If you're listening, if you're backslid, we sure, you know, it's not too late. If you still got breath in your body and you're listening to this broadcast, it's no accident that you're listening. And we want you to pray and we'll be your friend. You know, Jesus said, I call you friend. No greater love than a friend to lay down his life. And Jesus laid down his life for you and for me, and that we all can receive this eternal life through him, through his blood.
I got a prayer request. They had somebody went to Spurl down at one of the bridges down here and dived off last Saturday. They found his body today. So let's remember the family of the one that Barfield is his last name. And let's just keep the family in prayer, because I know it's going to be a tough time right now after they found him just today. So.
Amen. Let's pray for that too as well. And while she turned in that prayer request, it made me think, tomorrow my son is going to a funeral. Last Saturday night, a boy just graduated from high school, and he took his own life. He shot himself, and I don't know what was going on there, but I tell you, the demonic spirits are really talking to the young people and old as well, and trying to make them think a better way out would be just take your own life. And you know, the Bible says that a murderer, you can't go to heaven if you're a murderer, and if you kill yourself, you can't go to heaven. That's not Joanna Green's words, that's the Bible. And, you know, pray for that family. They sure are, it has really touched our community, and a lot of people. My son just last Saturday went to a funeral of a 22-year-old that suffered a stroke. And he was on a ventilator for probably a week. And so we don't know what that young man was able to hear. From what I understand, Pastor Sammy Reed had prayed him through for salvation a couple years ago, but my son said he didn't leave a good testimony. He got back out in the world and he had backslid. But, you know, there's hope in Jesus. I will tell you this.
Right.
There is hope in Jesus. That man, that boy, young man, laid there for a whole week, and we don't know what he was able to hear or remember. They say right before you pass away, the last thing to go is your hearing. So if his hearing was keen and anybody went in there and prayed over him, and I believe that the Lord could have reached out. I'm not preaching nobody into heaven. I'm just saying that, you know, don't wait till it's that late. Don't wait till you're on your deathbed. Don't chance it. Don't get out here. We're not promised tomorrow. Don't get in a car wreck and don't have a chance to pray. Some people are gone suddenly. Don't wait. If you still are listening to this here tonight, tonight could be your night to get saved, praise God, or come back to the Lord rededicate your life to Jesus and ask repentance of your sin. And I don't mean to take up so much time, but Brother Eddie, come on in there, brother, and obey the Lord, and just go ahead, brother, take your time. Hallelujah.
I want to read out of the first book of Peter, starting in verse 2, and try to deliver what we feel that the Lord would have us to out of this. That elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit. And this word sanctification, people don't like to hear much about it anymore, but being sanctified is being set aside, and it's being getting the world out of your life, and it's getting ready for the work of the Lord. It said, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And, brother, I want you to know tonight that a lot of people talking about this young man taking his life. There's a lot of people taking their life because they've got no peace. But I want you to know tonight that there is peace tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, one of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And it says that here that it'll be multiplied. And said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which hath begotten which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And brother, that reminded me of another scripture on over in the book of Peter, that brother, he called us lively stones in the building. We're not dead tonight. And there's a lot of people say, well, I would, but I don't want to give up my dancing, I don't want to give up my drinking, I don't want to give up my going out and having a good time. But let me tell you tonight that when you get the Lord down in your heart, and brother, you begin to let Jesus live in your life, you'll begin brother, to change the places that you used to go to, and brother, that you'll begin to talk different than you used to. And it won't be because you have to, it'll be because you want to, because it'll be there, because it's Christ. Paul wrote in one place, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And brother, it's Christ that causes us to want to live like this. And I heard an old preacher one time said, since I got saved, I drank all I want to. And brother, I want you to know, ever since I got saved, I've drunk all I want to, and I've not drunk any because I didn't want any. And I was an alcoholic at one time. But, oh, I'll tell you something tonight, this peace, this lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Bless God, with a lively hope tonight. It's a living hope tonight. Brother, it's not something that's dead. There's a lot of religions that go tell you different things, and it's dead tonight. There's no life in it, and they can give you no life. But brother, this lively hope tonight, brother, it's a living hope that when it comes in, brother, you got it alive. You can feel it down in you. I've got a son. Brother, he's in prison tonight, and I'm not bragging about him being in prison, but I'm saying this. He told me that, he said, I went to bed, he said, before I did, I asked God to come into my heart. And brother, he said, I didn't feel nothing that night, but he said the next day I could feel God down in me. Some people will say, well, brother, it's not by feeling, and I know it's not by feeling. It's by faith that we're saved, by grace through faith that we're saved tonight. And bless God, but that faith that we've got, it will cause you to know there's a sense there. If you want to call it a sixth sense, if you wanted to call it a knowing, brother, that's there, that Jesus is down there, that he is real, and you don't have to have anybody to tell you that. Oh, I'll tell you tonight, there's a lively hope tonight because Jesus rose from the dead. He said, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. Brother, this thing won't fade away. It'll get, I've seen people, today you can paint a house, and over time that house will begin to fade, that paint will begin to fade. But bless God, this thing, whenever that you get this lively hope down in your heart, when Christ comes in, it don't fade away. It gets greater and greater and better and better. And bless God, I want you to know tonight, brother, that he said it's reserved in heaven for you. You see, when you're born again, your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Brother, and I'll tell you tonight, whenever that name is wrote there, that reserves in heaven for us a place that God has got prepared for us. I thank God tonight that God has got these places prepared. We can be ready. Listen, we can't go out. I said a while ago that I've drunk all I wanted to and I have, but listen, if I decided to go out and begin to take the bottle up and begin to take the can up and begin to drink the alcohol, brother, it wouldn't be long until I'd be right back in the same situation or a worse situation than I was before that I ever did come back to the Lord. Brother, what I'm saying that is this lively hope, brother, that's alive down in me. It keeps me going. It keeps me on the pathway of righteousness. It causes me to walk after the Lord. It causes me to be led by the Spirit of God tonight. I'll tell you what, tonight, brother, it'll help us to be obedient to the Lord. Brother, when God begins to deal with us, God, we can begin to do what God would have us to do. Brother, when God begins to call us to teach, we can teach the gospel. When God begins to call us to preach, we can preach the gospel. When God calls us to sing, we can sing the gospel. And we can witness to people when God begins to deal with us about that. And it's not because it's not us that does that, but it's Christ that down in us that gives us the ability to be able to do these things. Listen to me tonight, folks of God. If you've not got Jesus in your heart tonight, I want to encourage you to call on the name of the Lord and let Jesus come down into your heart. The Bible says that if you believe that Jesus died for us and with the heart, and that he arose again on the third appointed morning, he said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Listen to him, said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, you see, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Listen to me. Peter's talking about the salvation that once that we bless God, that God called us out of it. That's the way he's talking about salvation here. But the way Paul wrote in the book of Romans is that, bless God, that whenever you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you're born again right then. Let me tell you tonight, folks, it's the greatest thing that ever was. He said, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. There's no more temptation come upon you than your brothers that are out in the world or your sisters that are in the world. The Bible said, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Talking about Jesus, and Jesus knows what it is to be tempted. When he stood before Pilate, and they smote him on his jaw, brother, they took a cat of nine tails, and they beat him beyond recognition with them 39 stripes they gave him. Bless God, whenever they begin to pull the beard out of his face, and brother, they put that crown of thorns on his head, brother, and they begin to bow to him, they would strike him on the jaw, and they'd tell him to prophesy to him who it was. And bless God, he could have done a lot of things, but he didn't. He sat there with his mouth shut. Listen to me tonight, folks. This obedience that we're talking about tonight, it's because the Spirit of God that is in us will help us. You might say, I thought you said it is Christ. It is the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit of God is one and the same tonight. There's only one Spirit, there's one Lord, and there's one God. But listen to me, he said, when you greatly rejoice, now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. Brother, you might be tempted. What might be your weakness may not be somebody else's weakness, but it don't matter what weakness that it is, because God will help you through that weakness, and you can begin to pray that God would make your weak point your strong point. Listen to me tonight, friends. God wants to help you tonight with all your problems. But he said in verse 7 that the trial of your faith been much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In the book of 2 Timothy, he talks about they're not only vessels unto honor, but they're vessels unto dishonor. He said, if a man will purge himself from these, he'll become a vessel unto honor, prepared to meet for the master's use. Oh, listen to me tonight, folks. We've got a place that we're headed to tonight. Brother, the Bible says it's appointed once the man to die, and after this, the judgment. And brother, whenever our time comes, our life is going to leave our body. Brother, our work will all be done. Our days will be over with on this earth, in this body that we've got. Brother, it'll be over with, and we won't be able to do anything else. If we die backslid. Brother, let me not say it like that. Let me say it like this. If anyone dies backslid, brother, that's how they'll be raised up, is backslid. Brother, if anybody dies lost, they'll be raised up lost. If
Amen.
Anybody dies saved, they'll be raised up saved. And brother, I want you to know what tonight. I would love to see everybody under the sound of our voice tonight, brother, that you would be saved, that God would save your soul, brother, and that you would be raised up, brother, be saved tonight, because there's a great big heaven that God has got, brother, prepared for them that love him, for them that's washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, that's got no spot, wrinkle, nor blemish in them, but they've been made white with the blood of the Lamb. And you know what's amazing is how that the blood of the Lamb was red, and it can take red blood, can take them black sin and make them white as snow. Oh, listen to me tonight, folks. God is wanting to bless you tonight. Brother, over here in the book of Isaiah, in the first chapter, starting in verse 18, it says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, he said, come now, let us reason together. God wants to reason tonight. God wants to show you a way, brother, a way that's much better. Brother, you might be a Christian tonight that's going through one struggle right after another. Brother, the Bible's talking us about in the 6th chapter of Hebrew about taking all the armor of God and putting it on. He talks about the helmet of salvation. He talks about the breastplate of righteousness. Talks about having your loins girt about with truth, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, brother, taking the shield of faith, and taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and it's having done all to stand, stand there. You see, the one thing the devil can't do, brother, if you refuse to throw your hands up and quit, bless God, he can't do nothing with that. Oh, I want you to know tonight, there's a lot of people that has a lot of trouble because they don't know. But I'm telling you tonight, folks, that God has given you the tools that you need to be obedient to the Lord tonight. Brother, the Spirit of God will lead us. He'll guide us into all truths and righteousness. Brother, when we are obedient unto him, brother, he'll never lead us wrong. He'll never tell us anything that's wrong. And we can trust him. And when we begin to be led by him, we follow that leadership of the Spirit of God. And he'll lead us and guide us. And he said, you can read in the 4th chapter of the book of Hebrew where he talks about there's a rest that remains for the people of God. Honey, God's got a rest for you. God wants you to rest today. He don't want you to struggle and struggle. And struggle. I know sometimes we might have a struggle along a little bit, but you know, brother, after a while, if we struggle, and that's all we ever do, we might just begin to get so tired, we'll just give up and quit, and God don't want us to do that, but bless God, he'll help us, brother, and when you quit struggling and begin to rest in the Lord and tell God you begin to fight this battle. Jehoshaphat was out there one day, the enemy had come up against him. There's about three nations, I believe it was, that come against him, and brother, when they come up, the Lord told Jehoshaphat, he said, you shall not have to fight in this battle, because the battle's not yours, but it's mine. And then Jehoshaphat went out there where the Lord told him to, and he set the singers up there, and they began to sing praises unto God, and God turned them alien armies against each other, and they destroyed each other. Oh, listen to me, folks. If we'll be willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. Listen to me, said, but if we refuse and rebel, we'll be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And that's exactly what happened unto the children of Israel. They rebelled against God. They become rebellious. They become disobedient. Brethren, when they become disobedient, God begins to turn the sword against them. Brethren, they went into captivity. He said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against God, and bringing into obedience every thought to the obedience of Christ. Listen to me. All you got to do is begin to let Jesus. And you might say, well, I don't know how to do that. I'll tell you how I done this. A simple prayer. Because I couldn't live for the Lord. I didn't know how to live for the Lord. But I began to pray, Lord, anchor me like an old oak tree that won't be uprooted. But no matter how much the wind blows, it won't be uprooted. But the limbs will be twisted out before that it'll be uprooted. And brother, signifying that I would give my life before I'd give up my faith. And brother, another little prayer that I would pray was, you can see on TV a lot of times where these tornadoes, these hurricanes go through in Florida. You'll see the palm trees when the wind's blowing real strong, about them things will just about reach down and touch the ground, and you'll almost see the top of them do a tap dance. And brother, I used to pray like that, Lord, make me like that palm tree, that whenever that I might just bend away over, when the wind lets up, I'll stand up big and tall again. Folks, listen, I want to see God bless you, and I want to see God use you, want to see God minister to you, and he will, if you'll just turn to him and begin to seek him. He said, seek him while he's here, call on him while he may be found. Listen, folks, God wants to bless you tonight. God wants to minister to you tonight. He'll do that, and I thank God tonight for being on this broadcast. I thank God tonight for this opportunity to stay here and to preach the gospel. I thank God tonight that God called me one time, and brother, he anointed me to preach the gospel, and I thank God for that, and I thank God for Sister and Brother Green, and I thank God for Brother John, and I thank God for Brother Lloyd Yearwood and his wife, and I thank God for these other folks that's on that I don't know, and may God bless you, and I'll turn it back over to you, Sister Green.
Amen, Brother Eddie. Praise God. Coming to you again, praise the Lord, with great word, the true word of God. Hallelujah. If you'd like to call in tonight, we have an hour left. It is 347-989-8862. If you want to reach us by email, heisrisen38@aol.com. Praise God. At this moment, we're going to have Brother Yearwood. You go ahead and come in, brother, and have Brother Timothy Dockery sing us a song, and then you go ahead and obey God, Brother Yearwood, and have Sister Betty, if she wants to say something for the Lord or read scripture or just obey God, go right ahead.
Praise the Lord. We appreciate you, Sister Green. We got some prayer requests here. I'm going to let her turn in there for everybody to pray over.
Amen.
And prayer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we've got a misplaced. We'll find them here in a minute, maybe. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Take your time, y'all.
Praise the Lord.
While she's looking,
well,
Brother Yearwood,
go ahead and sing what she's looking for him here.
Okay, can I turn in a prayer request here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sister Virgie Neal, she's still needing her home to sell, and it's very urgent. And Sister Judy Jones wants you to pray for her husband, Danny. And Sister Danielle Davidson, she wants prayer. God knows all about it, and the Lord can work this out. I know he can. And just remember those. Go ahead, Brother Yearwood.
Okay, go ahead, team. Praise the Lord.
Sometimes I think I'm in control, and I act so foolishly, facing problems on my own. I don't know what's best for me. My mistakes at times to serve all the plans you have made. Lord, keep me in your will, so I won't be in your way. Put me where you want to, not where just a glove in which you place your hand. Not my will, but yours be done. So I don't understand the best laid plans I've made. Somehow always strange. Lord, keep me in your will, so I won't be in your way. Put me where you want to, not where I if I should ask for things I want, just give me what I need. When I complain from time to time, forgive me, Lord, I pray. Keep me in your will, so I won't be in your way. I need you, dear Lord, each and every single day, to keep me in your will, so I won't be in your. Lord, keep me in your will. so I won't be in your way.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that song. I've got some prayer requests here we're going to turn in. Then I think Sister Betty's got a verse she wants to read.
It's good to be on here, Joanna.
Praise God, Sister Betty. Love you.
Love you, too. Martha Sexton fell and fractured her arm and cracked one of her vertebrae, and she's in a lot of pain, and she needs a touch from God. And pray for my brother-in-law, Ovalee Tilly, that's near death. And pray for Bob and Clara Hicks.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You want to read that? Praise God. Okay. Just remember them prayer requests. And we're going to start here in a few verses here in Acts, the 5th chapter. You can turn with me there to it, Acts 5. We'll start in the 25th verse. Then came one and taught who ye put in prison or were standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then when the captain was with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. You know, praise God. Just think here just for a minute on here they brought them into prison there, and they had them in prison. You know, praise God, and the officers feared the people, afraid if they didn't do it, why they would be stoned. And you know, right there in verse 27 it says, and when they had brought them, they set them before the chancellor, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straightly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring them, this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the rest, another apostle answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. You know, tonight I would like for us just to think here on these few words that I've read there. You know, we ought to obey God than man. You know, the man's ways, a lot of them would be to shut us up, not to go and teach in this name anymore. But praise God, there's no other name given under heaven that whereby that man must be saved but through the name of Jesus. And Peter here, he's saying that we ought to rather go and teach in this name. In other words, go and tell the world about this man. Praise God. You know, they didn't want him to teach anymore in that name, but praise God. I look down into 30 there, and it says, then God of our Father raised up Jesus, who ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him have God exalted with his right hand to be a Prince and Savior, a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. You know, praise God, God raised Jesus up there to forgive us of our sins. And, you know, praise God, I'm glad that he did. I'm glad that, praise God, that Jesus was willing to go and be hung up on that tree. You know, he could have called for 12,000 angels to bring him off from there. But praise God, he didn't do it. He went and was willing to go there to hang up on that old cruel tree, to hang that cursed death that we could have this life. You know, Peter and them, they told him, said, don't you go and teach this no more. Don't go and preach no more in the name of Jesus. But praise God, Peter said that we ought to obey God and man. You know, we ought to go forth telling the world tonight that Jesus loved them so much that he was willing to lay his life down on the old cruel cross, on that old tree, that we could have this life and have it more abundant. I know I say it a lot of times because I feel that this world needs to know that Jesus Christ still loves us. He still loved us yet while we were still sinners. He still was willing to go and to be hung up there. He had a few, and he's got a few people today that will still declare that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's still got a few people that's still out there saying we'd rather to obey God than to obey man. I know that a lot of people, they would like to shut up the preaching of Jesus Christ. I'd like to shut it up. But praise God, I'm glad that we can still go on. And like Brother Eddie was saying there a while ago, I stand up like that old tree down there in Florida. Praise God, stand up and bend over as the wind blows. But when the wind got through, that tree stands right back up again, straight and tall. And praise God, that's what we need to be like. We need to be able, praise God, whenever they tell us to shut up, don't teach this no more, don't preach this no more, we need to stand up and say, I'm still going to declare that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he is sitting at the right hand side of our Father tonight. I'm making intercession for you and I, that we can, that we can have this life. Hallelujah. Let's go just a little bit further. Praise God. Let's look into verse 32 there. Praise God. It said, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, who God have gave to them that obey him. Hallelujah. God has given us the power, my friend. If we obey him, he give us the Holy Ghost, something that will give us the power to be able to declare what he has told us to do. He has given us the Word of God. He's given us 66 books that we should obey, that we should tell the world. Praise God that Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Let's look on down into 33. When they heard that they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them, praise God, then stood them up one in the council, a Pharisee named I don't know what that name is. G.A. A doctor of the law has in reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as teaching these men, as touching these men. Hallelujah. You know, praise God. That's what it's all about tonight, my friend, is that we need to realize that we need to say that it's better to obey God. It's better to obey His word than to think about obeying man. You know, as I said a while ago there, men would like to shut us up. But praise God, God has given us the power. He gave us the Holy Ghost. I want us just to look over here. I know I've said this a lot of times, but let's look over into the first chapter of Acts right here in verse 8. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the rest, the other most part of the earth. Hallelujah. And that's what God has given us if we obey Him. He gives us that power. He gives us that Holy Ghost. I tell you, it's time today that we look to the author and the finisher of our faith, and we step into it, and that we go with His power and with His anointing. God will anoint you, my friend, tonight to stand on His word and to take His word for what He says. I tell you, that's what it's all about, is being obedient to God and being obedient to His anointing. And I tell you, I want to just say I praise God for another opportunity to come on here with you tonight and just lift up the name of Jesus and declare that Jesus' word is forever settled in heaven and that it is the truth. And praise God, I want us to think about it. Hallelujah. And I got one of the verses here I want to read. Are you going to read it? Praise God. In Revelation. Praise the Lord.
Revelation 22:14.
I want to read one more verse here in Revelation 22:14. I'll let Betty read it here. Praise God.
Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, if we'll just take His word and obey it. I want to say we have a broadcast that comes on here every Tuesday from 6 until 8. We want you to tune in, come in, be with us, and call in, be a part of our broadcasters. We appreciate you. And just pray for me today. I don't know, this evening my blood sugar has jumped up sky high. Went up to 260, but God is the healer. He's got all power in heaven and earth, and He took the stripes on His back for my healing. So you can just pray for me.
Praise God, Brother Yearwood. We appreciate you and your family, and we just love you all so much and miss you guys, and just let's go to prayer right now for Brother Yearwood. Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God, we ask, Lord, that you touch that blood sugar. And your God,
we pray, Heavenly Father, for this sugar, Lord. I command this sugar right now. God, in Jesus' name, to come down to normal. Lord, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would. I just bring it to normal, Father, where it needs to be. Lord, we pray, God, that you would, Lord, just move and minister. God, and bless them, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, we bless you, Father.
We praise you, Lord. Thank you, dear God, for doing it. We're going to come to you right now with a song from Jeremiah Yochin. That you and I can be saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. I thank God every minute of that I take a breath that He had given me life. And right now we're going to come to you with my husband, Evangelist Clint Green, all the way coming to you live from Springboro, Ohio.
All right. Good with you tonight. Praise the Lord. It's good to be on the winning side tonight. I'm glad tonight that I'm born again of the Spirit of God. And that puts me on the good side of the Lord. That puts me on the winning side, and that puts me on the Lord's side. Praise God.
Amen.
I want to read in Deuteronomy 28:13-15. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God. Notice there, he said if. See, there's a condition that we must do, and we must hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And we know that this was an Old Testament scripture, and we know that the Lord changes not. We know that the covenant has changed there. We have a new covenant. We're under a new covenant. Praise God. But we also know that God laid the foundation in the Old Testament, and he gave us his mind on what he accepts, you know, when it comes to sacrifice and it comes to the way that we should live, and that we should keep his word and that we should observe and we should do them. In verse 14 in Deuteronomy 28, it says, "And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." Well, now, if you read the book of the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, you'll find out that there was blessings. He said there that he'd make us the head and not the tail, and we would be above only. It means we would not be underneath other countries, would not be ruling us. And this was talking to the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel was supposed to be a holy nation, and they were supposed to fear God, and they were supposed to keep his word and keep his commandments and do all the things that he commanded them to do. And he said if they would do those things, that it would be well with them, praise God, and that he would have them as a kingdom of priests, and that they would be a delightful land, that they'd be a glorious land and people. See, praise God. We'll read something else here. 2 Chronicles 7:14, and many of you know this by heart. It's the Bible said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven." He said, "Then will I hear from heaven." But there was a condition. He said again, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." Praise God. You know, sometimes even Christian people may have some wicked ways. But I tell you, God is not delighted in things that we're doing if it's not in his will. And if we're going contrary to his will, he will chasten us. He will get our attention somehow or another. And I want to stay on the good side of God. I want to be under the blessing. I don't want to be under the curse. And I want to be the head. I don't want everything piling in on top of me and being buried with the bills and with everything else, although we may have hard times sometimes. But I tell you, if we'll go God's way, I believe that we'll prosper, and we will. If we can get victory over these things that are trying to pull us down, we can prosper. The Bible's right and somebody's wrong. We know that. We know the Bible never makes a mistake. We know God wants to bless us. He wants to pour out his blessings upon his people. He said it's his good pleasure to give unto us the kingdom. Praise God. And there's laid up for us treasure in heaven. We know when we pass from this life to the next, we know that even though we may have not had too much down here, he talked about the churches there in Revelation chapter 3, I believe it was, 2 and 3. And he told about one church that was poor. And he said they were poor, but then he turned around and said, but they were rich. And, you know, we can be rich tonight. We can be rich in love and joy and peace, and we can have the joy of salvation, and we can have our children healed, and we can see deliverance come when we pray, and we can not, you know, all the time be bound and oppressed, although sometimes we do fight the good fight of faith, and we have to take the whole armor of God and stand against the wiles of the enemy. And we have to take the sword of the Spirit and these things. But we're talking tonight on obedience to God. We're talking about how that we need to be obedient. In Romans 5:19, the Bible says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." So we see here that if you read this chapter 5 of Romans, you'll find out that it's talking about the one man's disobedience was Adam falling in the garden. Praise God. But Jesus came and he was obedient even unto death. And he went to that cross and died for our sins and washed our sins away. Romans 6:16, it says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants, let me read that again. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." So we see that we can be obedient to God or we can be disobedient. You know, we're a free moral agent tonight. Even though we've been saved, we can we still have a mind and we have a will and we can do our own thing if we choose to. God will not make us go against our will. He will not force us to, but he asks us to yield ourselves to him and be his servants and to be his children. And we must willingly be the children of God. We're not forced. He does not beat us into submission. But, you know, he can, like I say, he can. If you're born again of the Spirit of God and you get out of God's will, he will chastise you. And it might get pretty rough sometimes. Let's go on here and read some more scripture. Hebrews 5:8, it says, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." That's talking about Jesus, how he came down here. He took upon him the form of a servant, and he became obedient. He had to come down here and take on flesh so that he could be a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. You know, he had to defeat the devil on the devil's territory, praise God. He had to come down here where the devil was ruling and reigning and running, you know, shod over God's people, as the old saying goes. And he had to face the devil. And the Bible tells us that when he faced the devil, he defeated the devil. He defeated him everywhere he come against him, every time the devil came. In contact with Jesus, the devil was a loser, praise God.
Amen.
And if we'll keep Christ in our life tonight, if we'll stay in Christ and keep Christ in us, then the devil's going to end up a loser, and we're going to be an overcomer at the end of this race. And the Bible tells us there in Revelation about the overcomers, about the many things that they're going to reap, you know. And that the main thing is, we must have eternal life. That's the thing. That's the goal. Regardless of all the different rewards that we might get in heaven, we don't want to miss making heaven our home. If we miss that, we've missed it all. Well, one man said, "You didn't miss it all because there's a hell. There's a heaven and a hell. And if you miss heaven, there's only one more place for you, and that's the lake of fire."
Yes, amen.
But I don't want to go to that lake of fire. I've got my reservations for a mansion in the sky, praise God. I make preparation, praise God. And, you know, I took off the old coat and put on the new,
yes.
Praise God. I got my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, praise God. I got down on my knees one day and came to an altar of prayer. See, I was being obedient when I came to that altar of prayer. See, I could have went the other way. I could have went backwards. I could have went out of the church. I could have went back to the things I used to do and the things I was doing. And I could have held on to that old life, but I laid it down and left it, praise God. I laid it down one day at an altar, praise God. I gave it up. I surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm telling you tonight, if you want to get on the Lord's side, if you want to get on the blessing side, I'm telling you tonight, you've got to surrender to Christ. You've got to come humble before God. And see, I gave my life to Him, praise God. Praise God. My life is not my own today because He is the Lord of my life, praise God. Oh, praise God, I traded, praise God, my sins for a mansion, praise God. I've got a mansion over yonder one day that I'm going to receive, praise God. And not only that, but I'm going to see the loved ones, the others that have laid down their life and gave themselves to Christ. You think about it tonight. You think about those people that laid down their life. You think about them that's been martyred for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise God. Oh, glory to God. There's going to be a great homecoming day one of these days. There's going to be a great getting up morning. People coming out of the ground one of these days when the trump of God shall sound.
Amen.
Praise God. I want to be on the blessing side. Praise God. I want to stay there. Praise God. I want to keep drinking of that water of life. Praise God. And keep going back to the well of grace. Praise God. I want to keep eating of that bread of life, praise God, because I tell you, that's being obedient to God. That's what obedience is. I want to keep taking up my cross and following Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Deuteronomy 8 and 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day, praise God. See, it's the Lord that gives us power to get wealth. It's God that makes us overcomers. And it's Him that gives us power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And we can stand complete in Christ. He's the head of all principality and power. And every name that is named, the Bible said, we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it's up to you and I, church, tonight. It's up to you and I that we do what God would have us to do, that we would be well-pleasing in His sight. You know, I read in the Bible where many had fallen away and they had made shipwreck and different things that they did, and they lost out with God. I was thinking about Brother John Samples there. He was a preaching on Saul, the first king of Israel. And you know, Saul was a mighty man. He was a man that was changed by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God came upon him, you know. And Brother John talked about and preached how that Saul disobeyed God. And we find out that he did. He did disobey God. And that was a good message there tonight. And I want to read to you in chapter 10. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, I've got this marked somewhere here if I can find my paper. But nevertheless, I'll just have to go with it, I guess. Praise God. I can't find what I wrote down. Praise God. But the thing about it is, Saul was anointed. He was a man anointed of God. It said in chapter 10, verse 1, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorrow for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? And we go on here, and we find out that the prophet had poured the oil upon Saul and kissed him, and he told him that he was going to meet some people. He was going to meet them, and he told them what was going to happen, and he told him that in verse 5, after he told him some more things here, he told him there in verse 3, then shall thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine, and they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass when thou art come to the city that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And this is what I want you to see here, what's going to happen in verse 6. And it says here, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. In other words, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you, Saul, and you're going to prophesy with the prophets, praise God, and you're going to be turned into another man there in verse 6, praise God. And we look on down here, praise God, and praise the Lord. Verse 9, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all these signs came to pass that day, praise God. So you see, Saul was a man anointed of God. He was the head and not the tail. He was the main man in Israel. He was above and not beneath. He was a strong man and anointed man of God. And you know, it didn't take too long till he got pride set up in his heart, and he no longer looked at himself as though, you know, that he was a humble man anymore. He got pride built up in him. You know, sometimes people get promoted, you know, a little bit, and pride gets in there. And see, pride will keep you from being obedient to God. And that's what I'm telling you tonight, is I'm trying to help somebody tonight. And don't let pride get in your heart. Don't be lifted up and think you're more than what you are, praise God. But just be humble. Let this mind that was in Christ be also in you, praise God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. You know, people want the reputation today. They want to say, I'm the big end or whatever, and look at me and put my name in lights, and you know, and they climb that ladder of success, and it seems like that when they do, a lot of times they go astray. They become disobedient to God. When they was humble, you know, they was obedient, but then they get this thing going on with that pride, and sometimes they get envy and hatred and variance, and things in their life and works of the flesh come back. It says here that he was turned into another man, praise God. And I'm going to get off of here right shortly, because I think Joanna's got something to say. But I'm thinking about the first king of Israel here. What a man he was, anointed, and how he prophesied with the prophets. Well, that was a pretty good king to have. If we had a president today that would prophesy with the prophets, I'd say we'd be in pretty good shape, praise God, this country. Probably be in better shape if we had somebody at the top, somebody that was at the head, somebody that could prophesy with the prophets, praise God. But I don't think it's going on that way today, praise God. It looks like we just need to keep praying that God will move in our government, praise God, and in the governments around the world, praise God. Just pray for them that are in authority and those that have the rule over you. See, that's being obedient to God. We just got to pray for people that they'll come in and get their names in the book of life, that they can go to heaven with us someday, praise God. And I won't say too much, praise God, tonight. But I was also thinking about Jonah. You know, Jonah ran from God. Praise God. He was told, God told him, said, go down to Nineveh and preach what I bid thee to preach. Praise God. But you know what he done? He went the other way. I don't want you to go the other way tonight. I want you to go God's way. And I'm going to turn it over here to Sister Joanna right here in a couple minutes. And she's going to have something to say. And I don't know who else might come in. But, you know, we can't run from God and be pleasing to God. You know, Jonah ran from God. And he ended up in the whale's belly, praise God. And he began to pray. He began to say, Lord, get me out of this mess. I would say what he was praying, praise God. I've not turned to that right yet. But Jonah went down and bought him a ticket and got on a boat, praise the Lord. Went the other way. And the sea became, started churning with the boat, and they couldn't do nothing with it. They thought they were going to drown, praise God. And they picked up Jonah and they threw him in the water, praise God. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging, praise the Lord. See, then men begin to call on God. They asked Jonah, who are you and where did you come from? What is your people? And he began to tell them that he was a Hebrew and that his God was the God of the earth and the sea and the God that made all things. And they began to look for a way out of their mess. And they had to finally take poor old Jonah, pick him up, cast him forth into the sea. And the Bible said that the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. They got down to business with God. Praise God. I think they encountered the fact that, you know, they had certain gods that they believed in, but then they found out that this Hebrew man had the true and the living God. And I believe when they found that out, that they started sacrificing unto the Lord God that made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them was. And then it said, and they made vows. Praise God. But I tell you, I could say more about Jonah, but I'm going to turn it over to Joanna tonight, and I don't know what she's got to say, but the Lord is good tonight, and He wants you to stay in His will, and that's what we're trying to preach tonight, obedience unto God. Go ahead, Joanna.
Praise the Lord. I was thinking here in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20, but Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, the man of God, said, behold, my master hath spared Naaman his Syrian, and not receiving at his hand that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master hath sent me, saying, behold, now, even now, there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garment. And Naaman said, be content, take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver and two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants. And they bear them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them to their hand and bestowed them in his house. And he let the man go, and they departed. And he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee? When the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy thereof of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and to thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. And I was thinking here how Gehazi had lied, how he disobeyed the one he was supposed to be serving, and that was Elijah, and how he lied to Elijah. And you know, sometimes we get out of the will of God, and we go way out there, further than where we want to go, and we stay longer than we want to stay, and we think that the Lord doesn't want us back anymore. And here Elijah had written. Pretty much had written Gehazi off and said the leprosy is going to be with you and thy seed forever. He had pretty much just put him out, praise God. And you know, sin will take you out of the Father's house. And you know, I was thinking here in over in chapter 7, the Bible talks about in chapter 7 of 2 Kings, the third verse, and there were four leprous men. It doesn't say who they were, but in my opinion, it must have been Gehazi. And I can tell you in chapter 8, we'll find that here. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. And if we shall die there, and if we shall sit here, we die also. Now, therefore, come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. So it's appointed unto man to die. Praise God, the ones to die. And you know, however we die, however a tree falleth, so shall it lay. And just like Brother Eddie was saying, I believe it was, if we die in our sin, we die in our sin. If we die backslid, we die backslid. If we die saved, praise God, we've got eternal life with Jesus Christ. And you know, this Gehazi, he had a sentence written to him that he was going to die. And it was going to be to his seed. He was going to be a leper all his life and to his seed. And you know, the four lepers here, they said, why sit here till we die? If you look over in chapter 8, praise God, of 2 Kings, and it talks about how in verse 4, and the king talked with Gehazi. It was not permitted for a leper to go to the king or in the city. Praise the Lord. It was forbidden from them to stay away from the city. Then they ate. They got the scraps. They got the junk. They got the trash, the leftovers from the city. And they were to stay on the outside of the gate. They were a plague. They were not to be around other people. But here in chapter 8, and I remember in chapter 5, Elijah told him he was going to have leprosy and he was going to die like that in his seed. Praise God. But chapter 8 talks about Gehazi. The king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elijah hath done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life. Now, you know, back in chapter 7, when the four lepers went over into the Syrian camp, the great noise came abroad, and the Syrian people had left and left all their goods and all their spoils, and the four lepers went in and went into the first tent, and they started to gather the things, and they said, you know, we can't stay here. We must go back in into the city and tell them about it. And you know, that's exactly what they did. And the king, praise God, is now talking with Gehazi in chapter 8. And you know, if we be obedient to God, we're going to die anyway. So why not die praying to God and asking him to forgive us of our sins? If we messed up, we have an advocate with the Father. Hallelujah. You just get back on track with the Lord. And you know, the best way you can stand is to be on your knees praying to the Lord. Hallelujah. And there's no sense in the letting the devil tell you, and you believe in the big lie of the devil, that it's all over with for you. We know a man right now in a nursing home who has told me years ago that he could never be saved. He was a preacher, and he had backslid on the Lord, and you know, that's just a lie from the old slew foot that make you think that you can never be saved, that God don't want you. We had another man said that he can't read, and he had never given his heart to God because, and he said that he can't read the Bible, and you know, it's not what you know, praise the Lord, it's who you know. And if you know Jesus, that's the most important thing on this life that you could ever do, is know Jesus Christ. And the way you know him is to ask forgiveness. And another place Jesus was talking said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Praise the Lord. How do you keep his commandments? You start digging in his word. And a little known, little required. Much known, much required. So if you can't read, get you Bible tapes. Get you CDs that you could put in and listen to the word of God. If you're in the third world country and you can't afford it, you could get on internet. I encourage you to get on Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern time with Brother Yearwood for 2 hours, or get on with us on Friday nights and listen to the word of God. We always start at 10 p.m. Eastern time, praise the Lord, and we last till 12 a.m. Eastern time, praise God. And you can hear the word, and it can be written in your heart, praise the Lord. And you know, your faith, praise the Lord, is listening to the word of God. You build up your faith, and you can serve him. The little child can serve God. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. I'm going to have Brother John, why don't you come in and tell us where your church is located, brother, and if you've got any more scripture, go ahead and obey the Lord, brother.
Praise the Lord, Brother and Sister Green. I just appreciate our church is located in Thomaston, Georgia, 114 East Main Street, right about a block off the square downtown now. Thomaston, and we just praise the Lord. You know, God spoke to us several years ago and told us that we would have a church on a main street here in Thomaston. And it was sort of funny how we actually got on the main street, which was the highway. He told us that also. And so everything that God has told us, you know, he's not a God that can lie, but he's a God that speaks the truth. And because of this obedience, you know, just like Brother Green brought out there in Deuteronomy, how that, you know, there's blessings in obedience, blessings in your going in, blessings in your coming out, blessings in the city, in the field. And we just want to know tonight that, amen, that all across the globe, tonight, that no matter where you're at, and just like you said, you know, it doesn't make any difference in social status, but the Lord Jesus Christ makes us all equal in the eyes, amen, has come, and we walk in that obedience that God brings us into that realm. And most important thing that we can do tonight, you know, this covenant promise came, amen, by obedience, by a man by the name of Abraham who rose up and obeyed God. And everyone that's in this seed as far as the spiritual realm and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to have a faith, amen, you have to have a belief, and this is the word of God made flesh. You have to understand Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Excuse me. And so we're just declaring tonight that he dwelt among us and he lives in us. And so now tonight, as Brother and Sister Green, have you declared, amen, that we need to get into that word. That word needs to abide in us tonight, and we need to abide in the word. We need to live. God will give an opportunity to each and every one of us to obey his word and let that word live within us. And we need to hearken to it and hear it. And so tonight, just like I said, they were instructed that Adam and Eve had it all, amen. And we can't say that we would have done anything. There's not one of us that would have done any different because we are the children, just like Jesus declared into the amen that the sons of the prophet were taking care of the sepulchres, the graves, and, you know, they were making them white and everything. But you had to understand that their fathers are the ones that put the prophets in the grave. So we can't sit here tonight and say we wouldn't have done the same thing. I know we would have because we are the children of Adam and Eve.
But amen.
Praise God tonight because of obedience. Because of obedience on the cross at Calvary. Tonight, we can be made and can be. Just like I said, he was made in the image of man. so that we can live in the image of God. We were made in the image of God in the beginning. Amen. It's all about, you know, this world is based on the image. And I'm glad tonight, amen, that we have that opportunity. And as we walk in obedience, that as the Lord Jesus Christ looks into us, that we can be made conformable to his image, amen, transformed by the renewing of our mind. And once again, I want to thank the Lord God for the opportunity. I thank the Lord for each and every one of you, amen, to be a part of this ministry and this outreach, amen, reaching across. And just God is a blessing to us, and God, all of you have been a blessing to us. And we just thank you for each and one of you standing with us and praying with all the things that we've been going through, too. And I just thank God that Brother Eddie got on tonight. He's doing well. You know, it's just like, I really believe it. It's just like the Shunammite woman. It is well with our soul, and I praise the Lord for that.
Amen. We're going to go off here. We've done been off the air now, but let's pray over these requests. I told them we would. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, we ask that will you touch each and every
Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Father, tonight, for each request has been given in.
Sister Tammy Carter,
we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord,
as
we have touched their bodies,
being made known.
God, heal their
Tammy
bodies,
Carter,
Lord
dear
God.
You know all about it, Lord.
Lord, we
in
ask
the name
you
of
in the name of Jesus, Lord,
move for each and every person, Lord.
And God, we pray
that
you move in every request that's been given in.
Lord, touching Brother Eddie Bolton, Lord.
Lord, in Jesus' name, touch
your
brand,
Lord.
Touch your
brother John, Pastor John, and his church, Lord, and his church members, dear God. And Lord, just have your way until the next time. Praise God in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you all.
Bless you.